whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
Y'all really serious about this milk, man.
Man, we got milk wars going on.
There's real
People
milk
drink
beef.
That milk.
There's real milk beef.
We got Peter on the line, on the text line?
I don't know, but if they were on the text line, they'd be getting this smoke too. The 713-572-4610. We will get into the Nick Caserio conversation with Payne Pendergast from earlier this morning. Spent a good 45 minutes on with them boys, as he often does. Like, always very, he's very comfortable with those dudes. Mm-hmm. He talked a lot, but that is not inherently a bad thing, because I think you get some interesting nuggets from it. But yeah, man, real milk beef on the text line, where I had mentioned, you know, Jay in Freeport let us know the interesting tidbit that he had about us being the only mammals that, not us as a show, but like us as human beings, being the only mammals that seek out consumption of milk after infancy. And Ronald on the YouTube was like, if other mammals could figure out how to farm and keep livestock, they'd do that. And somebody else took that to a whole different level, where they were like, we're also the only species that builds jets and cars and nuclear power plants and spaceships. Maybe those other animals should stop being dorks and drink milk after infancy too. In your face, tigers. Yeah. Hold that, otters. Yeah. How you feel?
We might have to put this on a list with like religion, politics.
Can't talk milk. Milk is off limits. Yeah. It's too divisive. In fact, I thought about it. I was like, how do we get here? Because I was talking about Jim Harbaugh. He is already dividing us as
what
a Texans fan base to try and sow discord. Mm-hmm. We cannot let him, my brother, separate us from ourselves.
Yeah.
No, I'm just playing. But also, and I guess we are in that lunchtime time, so I will try and do the discourtesy. If you're about to eat, if you're a little squeamish, give me about 45 seconds. All right? You ready? Yes?
Ready.
Okay, cool. From the 281. Bro, found out I was lactose intolerant while I was on a date. Had a 44-ounce chocolate shake from Whataburger, blew up her toilet. That was next to her. I hate how that happens. The text went away. Went next to her room.
Yes. Oh.
That was the end of that date.
That was the first date?
First date.
I don't know if it was
just a date?
Just a date.
Okay. Yeah.
Would it be worse if that was the first date or if it was like a fifth
date? Oh, well, it was the first date.
Oh, you're done.
Yeah, you can't blow up a girl.
But isn't it worse if y'all kind of vibing and then you get to like date five and it's just like, actually, no. Yeah. Actually, can't do it.
We got a deal breaker.
Not going to be able to
and
do
you
it.
You over here dropping the deuce in your...
Open the window. And dumber.
Like, light a match. Are people still lighting matches? Does that actually work?
I don't know if that even works.
Yeah, nah.
Or just hold it.
Somebody that's lactose.
Yeah, just hold it.
Yeah, the milk beef continues in the text line. Incredible. All right, let's talk Texans. All right, let's not talk milk.
Let's get back to sports, fellas. Yeah.
Let's get back.
I'm surprised I ain't see that on the text line.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about
sports,
when you're talking about milk.
That's how big the milk topic is.
Yeah, I ain't seen none of that.
Well, yeah.
Also, great point. Sorry. Great point by Nick's Lazy Narrative on the YouTube, which will be a fantastic segue in 30 seconds. They went to Whataburger on their first date? The very first one?
Oh, man.
These are questions.
Couldn't have been the first date,
It can't be. Well, you know, sometimes some women like to keep it low-key.
That's an easy way to kind of... You know,
that's a very Texas thing too, man.
It also is. It's very much is.
Because it don't hit the same if I say let's go to McDonald's.
Yeah. No, no.
But Whataburger is like, that's a very Texas thing.
Well, actually, how much does she like you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if she really like you, y'all going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Y'all going anywhere together. All right. Again, from hopefully not Nick's Lazy Narrative as a name to Nick's conversation with Payne and Pendergast earlier today.
I told you
he was going to be there.
Telling you.
There were some really interesting things that he got into in the 45 minutes. It's worth going back and listening to. I'm sure it's on the podcast page for Payne and Pendergast on sportsradio610.com, but you can also use the Odyssey app to rewind. But I was interested in a few things that jumped out to me, and one of those was Nick Caserio talking about something that I think we're all excited to see, which is Zeez Al-Shaair, Christian Harris, and Henry Toto'o finally having the opportunity to play together.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think during the course of the year, there's always going to be an ebb and flow. Players are going to be in, players are going to be out. You're going to have to deal with a number of different situations ultimately during the course of the year. So those are three good football players. Christian played a lot of good football last year, and as the year progressed, he was probably playing at a peak level, and we saw that in a playoff game really against Cleveland. And then he's missed a lot of football, so there's been a little. It's been a little bit of a work in progress, and he played a couple games there. Didn't play last week, so you know we'll go through the course of the week. We'll kind of see where we are. But Henry and Azeez, I mean, those two players have played really good football here over the course of the year. I mean, Henry led us in tackles this year, over 100 tackles. So he just built on what he did during the course of his rookie season. And Azeez is a good football player, as we know, which is why we signed him and brought him in. And I think last week was good. He was able to kind of get his feet underneath him, played a number of plays during the course of the game. And any, it doesn't matter who you are, how much football you played. When you miss time, it sometimes takes a game or two to kind of get your feet back on the ground between practice and going out there in a game and then coming back the next week and practice and going out there and playing again. So regardless of your level of experience, but those are three good football players. I'd say overall, that linebacker group, we felt we built decent depth during the course of the offseason. So the three players that you mentioned, and then including Neville, Jake Hansen, brought Devin in there a little bit different points. We got some snaps from Delshon and even Jamal Hill. You know, he was coming on there late in the year, gave us some plays in the kicking game. So, you know, part of our job and responsibility as best we can, try to build as much depth across positions as we can across the team. Because at some point, and we've talked about this on the show, you're going to need everybody that's in your building to go out there and play in a game that that matters.
Very interesting right there. I like that one because he touched on a couple, made me think about a couple things. Number one, do you see all three of them at on the field at the same time? How often?
We saw a lot of base, and of course, Christian didn't play in this game on Week 18, but we saw a lot of base in that that Week 18 game, and that's one of the things that we've thought about, right? What does that nickel look like, or how do you handle that kind of position in there? Because, you know, you don't have Jalen Petrie, you don't have Jimmy Ward. So what is your solution? Is it indeed bringing Miles Bryant on the field, or is it putting Kamari Lassiter in the slot? Or is it, especially with the versatility and the fluidity and the movement that Christian Harris brings, is it with him maybe having some consideration for that slot? And it would be cool seeing all three of them together, but the particular challenge that exists is Ladd McConkey. Like, he has the second most yards from receivers out of the slot. Like, having to deal with him is going to be very interesting in this game. So I'm really, really keyed into how they get him. But did you notice that one of the things he said was he was putting the brakes a little bit on Christian Harris, talking about we'll see throughout the week, which, remember, harkens back to what D'Amico said, which he was like, Christian.
He said the same thing.
Christian is still working back. And I was like, I didn't realize that we were still in that place with Christian Harris.
Yeah, okay, so that was another point that I was going to make, and I think that's more gamesmanship than anything. Christian Harris is, again, I don't know why I remember this number, but 82% of the snaps.
And I'll now never forget it.
In his first game back against the Dolphins, that's a guy that's ready to go. The other thing that made me think about, okay, if you don't have all three, or who knows how much you do it, on the field at the same time, think about the options it gives you in passing, in obvious passing situations. Because I don't know if you want to put Christian Harris on Ladd McConkey.
But I also am not sure if you want to put Miles Bryant on Ladd McConkey.
Well, maybe Kamari Lassiter pops in there.
And then who ends up
Who ends up on the outside. But it does give you better pass coverage, you know, by far. So it gives you some options. And, you know, I like that.
Yeah. So I just that thing that pops in my head was like, oh, man, okay. But I feel like you're right. There's probably gamesmanship, and if it's not gamesmanship, they'll find a way.
Yeah.
Right. If there was a game,
if not now, when?
If there was a game where a good old Toradol shot don't come out and fix everything, right? As a panacea, it is. Hey, first round of the playoffs, or just playoffs in general, right? These are the win or go down, win or go home situations. It reminds me of a player that I will never forget, and his name is Thomas Davis. Played linebacker. In this instance, what was that? 2015. For the Carolina Panthers, when they went to the Super Bowl, except in the NFC Championship game, he broke his arm.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, he was out there playing football with a broken arm. Like, we are going to make it happen. And it feels like that is the time period that we're at, even though I understand that this team tends to play from, err on the side of caution. Yeah. Is the word I was looking for. Man, my pronunciation getting real crazy here because of all this milk.
Need to drink more milk?
No, I don't. I promise you I don't. I can tell you that for damn certain. All right, how about this as we move it along some of the Casario cuts here. Do you want to talk about Justin Herbert?
Yes.
Because that is the quarterback that you are facing. And I found it interesting, the amount of respect that was given by Nick Casario about Justin Herbert. This is how he talked about him.
He won't win the MVP, but honestly, like, you can make a cogent argument for why he should. Talking about a guy who's big, who's strong, who's more athletic than people think he is, that can make plays with his legs. his attempted, I don't know, 500 passes, whatever it's been, three interceptions. I mean, do that math. Like, I'm not good at it, but that's a pretty good ratio.
It's the second fewest ever behind Aaron Rodgers in that freakish season that he had.
And can get the ball basically wherever he wants to go. Some of the throws that he's made into tight quarters, I mean, I want to say I was watching the other day against Kansas City. You know, they had Ladd McConkey doubled in a red area. They kind of had a double calling an out call. You couldn't see Ladd, but he threw the ball to a spot where Ladd can make the play, and it's a touchdown. I mean, whoever is talking about Justin Herbert, like, I would tell him, go watch the film. This guy's played as good a football as any quarterback in the league who's smart. He's tough as hell. He plays hurt. He makes throws with players draped all over him. So, I mean, this guy is a damn good football player who probably doesn't get as much credit and respect as he deserves.
You're not going to hear Nick Caserio be more effusive about a player than that. He did everything but call him a football playing Jesse. Like he did, I guess it was Aziz, wasn't it? Or it might have been Danico Autry. But either way, that's big time praise right there. And you can tell what, you know, their singular focus is somehow, some way, throw him off his game.
It's part of it. I mean, it's a large part of it. That is distinctly, if you're going to come up with anything on this team, or any like maybe individual or small group of this team, that you go, hey, this is the first thing that we circle. He's one.
Yes.
And two is on defense, right, in Derwin James.
Correct.
And so, yeah, man, this is going to be real interesting, and I guess I would like to go ahead and play the keys to the game because I think it ties in, but, like, that's going to be a huge part. And keeping him corralled is really the big thing that I keep thinking on, because the amount of a focus on going and rushing the quarterback, the pressure that you can get on him, and we were talking about this yesterday, pressure is going to be a big name of the game, but whenever we talk about players like this, when we talked about dealing with Josh Allen, when we talked about, who else did we, Lamar Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, man, going and applying pressure is super necessary because their arms are dangerous. But not too much, right? Like, in a way that is, you have to be very disciplined. Discipline is going to be the name of the game.
Yeah, 100%.
For this game, for this defense. Because also, like, when you talk about Justin Herbert, he's really good without pressure. So you need to get pressure. But if you don't, he has the mobility. He's big and strong and fast enough to hurt you with his legs. In addition to that, this team is really good at using play action. Mm-hmm. He used play action at a high degree. And his numbers out of play action are very good. So, like, that is where linebackers that we were talking about, Aziz, Christian Harris, Henry Toa, Henry probably the biggest one of those. You know, just, you guys have to be super disciplined, because the play action is generally as a construct made to trip you guys up.
And
to get you guys to take that step up. And now, Ladd McConkey, who has been fantastic in the intermediate areas, boom, now you go boom, boom, that's 15. That's 20, and those are the ways that you get eaten up.
And Justin Herbert, widely considered as the best in the league with play action, his fake.
Yeah.
So, there you go. There's the focus. There's the discipline.
All right, so let's get to Nick Caserio's keys for this Chargers game.
This game's going to come down to turnovers and red zone efficiency on either side of the ball. So you're talking about first in the league in red area defense, the Chargers. They've done a good job of minimizing points. And then turnovers, this is one of the, they turn the ball over the least amount, among the least amount. I think Buffalo or somebody who had 8, and they had 9. So they don't turn the ball over offensively. They play good red area defense. Whoever manages those two situations the best is probably going to be in the best position to win a football game.
Preach. I mean, that's what you just mentioned it, you know, earlier, and I think that's absolutely at the red zone. The red zone to me is even more key than anything. I mean, obviously turnovers is going to be huge, but hell, the Texans have played a game in which they got 5 turnovers and lost this year.
Why are you bringing up Olsen?
But
I don't understand.
Red zone for the Texans, I said this yesterday, we're kind of like glossing over the fact that this team has had a really hard time for a long stretch scoring touchdowns in the second half.
Been kicking a lot of field goals, baby.
Long stretch.
Been kicking a lot of field goals when you do get into the red zone, or even in the gold zone before you get into the red zone. Like, they've been kicking a lot of field goals, and now you're actively going against a Chargers team that's been really good.
The best.
And I was trying to go through, admittedly, Caserio on Pain and Pendergast afterwards, I was trying to, get ready for the show and everything, but I popped up, you know, the film, and I was trying to look at some of their red zone tape, and I mean, they've played like 150 red zone downs, and I was like, I'm not getting through all these. So I was running through the last few games of them. I mean, there's a lot of man in the red zone, but it's very disciplined, and they they trigger and they swarm well to the football. If you do run in those instances, like, you're going to have to be on your P's and Q's, because this feels like another instance, and just in general in the playoffs, you can't be turning potential sevens into threes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just not a good trade-off. So, yeah, man, that's going to be a huge part of this as well. It was really, really in-depth. There was a lot more happening there, and we'll bring some more of that back. But, man, fantastic sit-down with Nick Caserio with our guys. Payne and Pendergast this morning, 7:30 was the time if you want to go back and find it. I'm certain it's on the podcast page there. Appreciate those fine fellows, those nice milk drinkers on the morning show.
Seth strikes me as a big milk drinker.
I mean, you don't get to be big. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He probably drank milk straight from the cow.
Someone did ask if we've drank raw milk, and I was like, absolutely not.
I have. Straight from the cow.
I haven't.
Yeah. It's rich. Tastes like cream.
Okay.
But it's warm and kind of off-putting.
And please don't take my reaction as some level of indication of how I feel about you. I just don't know how I feel in general about that description. Not that you described it incorrectly.
I've done it from a goat.
I just need you to clip that for me. just that audio for me, if you don't mind.
I have.
Dang, Andre Johnson got some milk, huh?
Wow, that's crazy.
Oh, wow.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610.
Now that's unfair.
I'm done here.
Unfair.
I don't want any more of this at all. I'm done. My hands are up in the air. I'm throwing my hands up. I'm done. All right, coming up next, we're about that time where we do our lunchtime confessions. Hopefully no more goat milk confessions. We'll do it next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Everybody loves a good, wholesome story, and my confession is the wholesome story you're about to hear, it made me think, I don't think anyone in the league deserves better than Myles Garrett. I try to actually think of other players who deserve to be in a better situation more. I couldn't think of that more than Myles Garrett. But just listen to this exchange from I think it's a backup that started or was on special teams or whatever, offensive lineman.
No, I'm a nobody better. I get that jersey after.
Hey, you in the league? Y'all winning games? Y'all looking great? Never nobody. I got you.
Got me?
Yeah.
So if you didn't hear it, he said, I know I'm a nobody, but can I have your jersey?
Sure.
That's basically what he said. And Myles Garrett could have said yeah or no or just walked on. But he actually took the time to say, hey, you're in the league. You are not a nobody. You ain't never going to be a nobody. And said, yeah,
that's like a Disney movie.
Yeah, exactly. It was like so wholesome and cool. But
which is why I'll never forgive Mace Rudolph, because he had to say something to that man.
Yeah.
He had to say something.
I was about to say,
you're just out here swinging helmets to do it?
The same Myles Garrett that swung a helmet?
Yeah.
And people wanted him out the league and charged?
Which and the tough thing about it is that there's players that were on the field that were like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think I heard anything. But I'm like, ain't no way.
He never came across as like a violent person.
No.
Hell, he got punched in the face on the street of Cleveland one time and didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
He deserves a better situation.
I mean, absolutely. I'm trying to think. You threw out there, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, a really interesting hypothetical that I want to get to the bottom of at some point. I might need to just write it down. Like, who is on the, like, the all deserves better list?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's somebody that deserves a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Somebody, that, like, it's players that, you know, that's good, but if they don't win, it's still cool. But he deserves a Super Bowl, man.
Absolutely.
These are my confessions.
Sorry, I'm over here trying to figure out. I'm writing down all deserves better list.
I guess that counts as a confession.
No, actually, I mean.
Segment coming soon.
Yeah, my confession is I really and truly did not believe and realize that this many people were milk drinkers. And I say that is not a pejorative, by the way. I want to make it this clear before somebody comes out here and try and cancel me. That was just a factual accounting of the situation. You guys drink milk, therefore you are milk drinkers.
But you've never had teenage boys.
I have been a teenage boy.
You've been a teenage boy.
And to be, now that I'm thinking about it, there was one, like, you know how you got cousins that aren't cousins. Y'all just, you know, y'all moms hang out all the time.
Yeah.
Y'all be
That's your mom best friend's kids.
Yeah, exactly. I got some cousins where at their house, there was at least a couple of cases where I remember like milk was the drink. But otherwise, it was mostly just, hey, go get you some water. Right. But yeah, man, y'all are out here really drinking milk. Like from the 832, I love drinking milk with my dinner. Guess I'm minority as well.
No,
I'm 41.
You're not.
And what I'm learning today is is. Absolutely not. Like, yeah. I think that my confession is this might be one of those conversations where you never considered that there was another way and that any people did the other thing. But then as soon as you find out, you're like, oh, my goodness. And yeah. I could tell you one of the other circumstances. And I just told Lopez about it. I just told Figgy about it. And what's funny is they're on opposite sides and they had never considered the other one, mm-hmm. which is, do you stand or sit to wipe? And I apologize for anybody who, again, if you're eating or whatever.
It's like, lunchtime,
it's
man.
Not, it's not the clear. And not, I'm trying to be very vague and general about mm-hmm. it. However, I bet you had never thought about the idea that someone else might stand or someone else might sit to wipe.
You stand all day. Only weirdos like Jim Harbaugh sit.
I bet you Jim Harbaugh stand, though.
That's what I'm saying.
I bet you he stand, though.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And I am on the opposite side. And I had never considered it until it at one point had come up as a conversation. Where? Mind your business. But it had come up, and it was just like, wait, really? And then you find out that, and yes, shout out to the 713. I also agree, bidet all day. But yes, that was just one of those things. I was like, I never considered the idea that people did the other thing. So now I have to write milk, drink or no drink, as one of those conversations.
I have a hunch that milk is going to be prevalent in this confession segment.
These are my confessions. I think you damn right, because because while we was talking about milk and everybody sending all their text messages in, somebody mentioned, I don't know if it's on a YouTube or on a text, but somebody mentioned about, we talked about it briefly, which is why I'm making this confession. Somebody had a first date or just a regular date mm-hmm. at Whataburger, mm-hmm. and they talked about how they had a milkshake. They mm-hmm. went back to the girl house and they pretty much blew up the bathroom.
That's yeah. how they learned that they were lactose intolerant.
Yeah. Yeah, so when y'all read this text, I think I came across like 3 or 4 red flags. So we just kind of breezed past it. So I want to reel back in. I wish this guy could probably call in so we could kind of explain.
You got questions?
Yes.
All right. First, I will send that person a text and ask them specifically to call in so that we can get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. First of all, like, you really had the first date at Whataburger?
Yeah.
Was that the first date? I kind of want to know a little more about that. What's the backstory on that? The second thing that really caught my eye out of all of this, you had a 44-ounce milkshake?
You're asking for it.
Dog.
You're asking for it.
Yeah, man. Even if that's the only thing you got, that's a lot of milkshake, man. That's more milkshake than Khalees.
I don't think I can.
I was waiting for Khalees to come.
Hey, that's a lot of milkshake, man.
And great, I'm sure, Instagram follow, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah. Yes. Speaking of the farming, I'm sure she got a lot of cows out there.
She
but
does. She got goats and stuff.
Yeah. But
you good? You gonna be all right over there?
She sure does.
All right.
But yeah, the 44 ounce, I'm sure he had a meal there too, mm-hmm. and he probably washed it down with 44 ounces of milkshake.
That's a lot.
I don't think I could finish 44 ounces.
Yeah. And my other red flag was going to the girl house and like taking the deuce at the girl house on the first date.
Hey, when
sometimes you gotta go, man.
That's a red flag on her. Like, from her point of view. Yeah. Like, man, this brother, like,
he's
we don't even know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and he blew up the bathroom. So, that's my confession. I kind of want to know a little more about this guy, this date.
These are my confessions.
I kind of hate saying this, but it's confessions and it's what you feel. I don't think I want Cam Whitmore on this team anymore.
Wow. Mm.
Dude, it's getting bad. Man. You know, he's been asking basically for a trade. Apparently, no confirmation, he pushed Jalen Green. They've got some sort of beef. There was a clip making the rounds. I'm sure you guys saw it. Team's going nuts on the bench. He's just kind of sitting there with his shoulders down, not celebrating with his teammates on the bench. And at the buzzer, everybody's sort of, you know, slapping hands and going to talk to each other and see some friends on the other squad. He just makes a beeline to the bench. That is a sign, man. That is as clear a sign as you're ever going to get. He's a problem, or there is a problem.
That's tough, because I'm hesitant to go right to the he's a problem, but I think it's hard to deny that there is a problem.
Right.
Is it? I think the question then you have to get to in trying to diagnose that is it a problem that is foundational, that is irreparable?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the case.
Either or.
I mean,
either he's a problem or there is a problem.
He's still really young, and there's still opportunities maybe, mm-hmm. but you would have imagined that, hey, now the big problem that we probably could see or that we would imagine is you weren't getting playing time. That's been remedied. If for no other reason than there's been some injuries, yeah. and boom, there's some playing time, and that does
and
not
seem
to fix
it. And he's still not shaking hands. He's going straight to the locker room.
But I do wonder.
Sulking on the bench.
Yeah, it's a lot here too, man. Yeah. Because I don't want to say it's all on him. Because to me, his playing time been so weird since he got here, man.
Because
I, you know, like they keep sending him down to the G League, and which I kind of understand. But I'm like, man, I felt like he'd be a fire person off the bench to give you some scoring.
He was really good last night as well.
I felt like they bench wasn't that great where, you know, he was just the guy out of luck, like just sorry out of luck type of person. But yeah. I wonder if it's him, if it's the front office, if they don't want to kind of, I guess, is he the same type of player as Jalen Green a little bit?
Yeah.
And he's just sorry out of luck, or... is this the reason why he slid so low in the draft?
And this is probably part of it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's hard to find those places. But this is the human element. This is why sports in general, but particularly basketball, you can't just do this off of the spreadsheets, man. Mm-hmm. Like this is a human business.
Yeah,
yeah. And you managing relationships,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is I saw someone was like, "Ime don't care if Cam is in his feelings." But you kind of have to, like, managing, especially in the NBA, right? This is one of the places where I'll agree to some degree with some of the folks that can be a little bit loud about the NBA and the issues that they have with it. Like, there's a lot of egos in here. Like,
that's the main thing.
That is sports in general, but
like,
the NBA
can really tarnish the locker room.
Yes,
man.
Yes.
It can really mess up a lot of stuff.
Because it's a smaller locker room.
Yeah.
There's only 15 dudes in there, right?
Yeah.
And there, a few of them carry a lot more weight. And so somebody who is not necessarily in the best way can really change this up. And so ego management or personnel management or however you would like to call that matters a whole bunch. And so this is going to be an interesting place to see. And it really could even just be something like, hey, man, that man's going through something. Right. I don't know what all it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is something that I'm watching. But I'm not sure that I'm to the place where I'm like, yeah, I'm done with him.
It was bad. It's been bad lately.
Well, he'd be some good trade bait.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, for the time being, you really got to find a way to massage this and make it better. Because yeah, that is concerning that he is in that place, even as he is getting more of the time that he should get.
These are my confessions.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good confession. I'm thinking. My brain might be cooked. I was taking a shower this morning, and yes, it is pertinent. Because that's where sometimes thinking happens. In fact, I was listening to Payne Pendergast do talk to Casario.
Mm-hmm.
And while that was happening, I randomly out of nowhere came up with Jim Caldwell. And I was like,
think about Jim Caldwell in the shower.
Yeah.
Apparently so. Because not this week. Last week, myself and Lopez were trying to remember who was the dude that Peyton Manning gave a lot of credit for his success that ultimately was like with the Lions in coaching, and he didn't get at least in my estimation, kind of got a bad rap and fired, and then they couldn't find anybody good to coach their team until Dan Campbell. So who was that guy? A week later, in the shower, I'm like, Jim Caldwell. I think I'm cooked. Like, it took me a week for that to come to me.
That happens all the time, man. Yeah. I just can't figure it out.
Yeah, and the worst part is if you was talking to somebody about this and y'all never came up with the name, it'd be 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yeah, Jim Caldwell. Let me text him and let him. Hey, it's Jim Caldwell.
Jim Caldwell.
Remember that conversation 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Jim Caldwell.
Yeah.
In fact, that's basically what Lopez got. Was he walked in and I was like, Jim Caldwell.
Jim Caldwell.
He was like, what?
What are you talking about? I thought he was talking about the Rooney Rule stuff we were talking about yesterday.
Nope, Jim. Yeah. Jim Caldwell.
He fits that conversation.
Nah, him, Marvin Lewis, the people that probably will never get hired as a head coach again.
Yep.
Let's bring him in and kind of see what he can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. All right. Those are the confessions here on this Wednesday in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Apologies for all the milk talk.
No, I don't apologize.
All right. He doesn't apologize. I will apologize because, you know, some of y'all are lactose intolerant, and I don't know if that's exactly how it works, but I feel like if we say milk enough, you might break out in hives.
Might have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Possible. All right. Coming up next.
Or that.
There's been too much milk.
Like all this milk talk. Let me go to the bathroom.
It's a lot. Yeah,
I got to go now.
Just in case. All right. Coming up next. This is a little bit of a different detour. So yesterday on Figgy's mixtape, there was a few things that came up. And oddly enough, both of them came to bear yesterday. Let's talk about a Timmy Chan's run and tweakers next.
Live. from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitua.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Latitude, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on a Wednesday. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into some new wrinkles that we'd like to see, that you wouldn't mind seeing in this game versus the Chargers. Of course, wild card game on Saturday at, you know what time it is, 3:30.
That's 3:30.
It's a wild card game, come on. But before we get there, yesterday in the mixtape, which is a segment that you should listen to every day, 1:20 p.m., Figgy Fig holds it down. But in that segment, there was a few things that came up. One of those being, how did we even end up this? Because I don't think it was specifically a part of your mixtape.
No, you know, the Timmy Chance conversation?
Yeah. Yes, Timmy Chance.
I actually brought that up in Confessions. So
it was right
around this time yesterday.
Okay, so I messed it up then.
Yeah, because it was a whole debate with my guy, Eric Eats.
HDX. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he said Timmy Chance was ass. Mm-hmm. So that kind of got
the people
riled up.
No, yeah. It should. It should. It is a... Would it be too much to say that it is a Houston institution?
Institution.
Okay, so that's a yes.
I would take a back seat because I didn't grow up to attend.
But I mean, it's one of those. It's one of those spots. It's a staple. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Thank you for the word, Mr. Thesaurus, sir. But yeah, it's a staple in the city of Houston, and I recognize that I hadn't had it in at least over a decade, since I was a lot younger. And Figgy, you said you ain't had it in a good minute yourself.
I ain't had it in a couple months.
Okay.
So especially as everybody got talking, the text line was kind of up and down.
It was built up pretty high.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that had there was a lot of people that had some support for Timmy Chance, and there were some people that were like,
Yeah.
And so we just decided on air, we're gonna go to Timmy Chance.
I saw your video. I was like, okay, before you go on, I kind of felt like this was gonna be such a build up that y'all were kind of disappointed ultimately.
That was a possibility. And that was one of the things that I vocalized.
Not that it stunk, but you built it up so much.
That was one of the things
I
vocalized.
We're going to Timmy Chance, you know?
Yeah, I definitely vocalized that with when we were handing it off to the drive with Clinton Ron. I was like, hey, man, I haven't done this in a long time. I'm going to be real concerned if like a lot of this for me is nostalgia.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, recipes change and all that type of stuff. But we hopped in the car, myself, Figgy. I got Leroy. Mm-hmm. We hopped in the car and we went out. And yes, for everybody asking, because text immediately came in, Timmy Chance is great depending on what side of town you get it from. We went to the original Timmy's.
Yeah, it's the one off of MLK.
Okay.
It says it on the sign. We were like, hey, man, we're going to get it from the source. In fact, we were so eager that we forgot some of the very known rules of Timmy Chance, which first of all, bring cash.
Oh,
cash only.
It's a cash establishment.
Yeah.
And we were looking around like, oh.
Yeah, we need some money.
we cobbled up just enough money to get it done. In fact, I think we had like 3 cents to spare.
Yeah, yep. And we had exactly the price.
Exactly the price.
So y'all aren't good tippers.
Hey, man, you tipping at the Timmy Chance? You tip at Timmy Chance or
kidding.
Wherever
I'm
else? That is not really.
I don't even think they had a tip jar.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even talk. Like, they had glass between us and them at all times.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you're supposed to tip in that instance. But we got our Timmy Chance. What did you end up getting?
I got the 6 wings and fried rice.
I got the
shrimp fried rice.
I got the same thing.
Good.
The shrimp was important, and it does sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Leroy, who has the palate of a child apparently, didn't get no vegetables in his. And I kind of want to
no vegetables in the rice.
I kind of want to stop here right quick. Okay, so that's an answer. Person who changes the menu, jerk or no jerk?
Depends, but mostly jerk.
What you mean change the menu?
Like changes the
can
item.
Can you do this instead? And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it depends.
Especially this isn't a 5-star restaurant. It's freaking Timmy Chance. You know what you're getting. You know? You know what they serve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, jerk. Okay. Sorry, Leroy.
I'm jerk. I'm certain he's listening right now, and I'm sure he's very sad.
Look what you did, you jerk.
So we get that. And all right, what do you think was most notable when you first opened up the food?
The first notable thing, let me be clear, it's different Timmy Chance, so it's probably different recipes.
Mm-hmm.
But we opened that to-go container. The shrimp was pink.
It was pink.
Oh.
The shrimp was hot pink. It was a hot pink shrimp.
They cooked
shrimp.
It on the sidewalk.
What?
No, that's a thing.
What you mean?
Come on, hang around with me. I'll teach you some stuff.
That's why I'm asking.
Mm, yeah. When you slow cook shrimp, and a lot of people, and this isn't a statement by any way, but it's certainly Asian people.
Oh, no.
Cook.
Ooh. Oh,
no,
goodness. ISO.
No.
I can't be on a video when you say this.
Again, you doubted me on the milk.
Someone's going to clip this.
You doubted me on the milk thing.
I just got here. I can't get fired.
Don't doubt me on this. 713-572-4610. This is the OG part of the OG talking.
This man talking about our Asian
brother. It sure is the OG talking. You better be careful, brother.
You better spell my name.
It sure is the OG talking.
You can cook. I almost said they. But you can cook shrimp on the sidewalk. And a lot of people do. And I've seen it primarily, again, not a political statement or cultural statement, by a lot of Asian people. You cook shrimp on the sidewalk. It's very, very slow cook. And it turns out hot pink.
I don't think that.
So on the actual sidewalk.
On the actual sidewalk. In the shell.
I don't think they was actually putting it on
the
sidewalk.
No, I'm not saying they did, but that's what happened. It was probably a slow cook of shrimp.
I should have Googled this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is shrimp hot pink?
Yeah.
Why did the shrimp come out hot pink?
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, now you're in trouble. Tommy S. on the YouTube said, as an Asian person, I've never cooked shrimp on the sidewalk. Uh-oh. You out here lying.
I said a lot.
Uh-oh. But yes.
That's people John Philip Lopez right there.
Yes, people say you can cook shrimp with lime juice and those types of things. I don't know what ultimately the shrimp was pink. I will say, I don't think that that's an indictment, because I ate the food and I was like, pretty good.
Yeah.
It was cool. Mm-hmm. Now, the wings was hidden.
Yeah, it was a good fried wing.
Wings were cooked well.
Yeah.
So shout out to Timmy Chance for holding us down. And yes, thank you for pulling up the website, The Gothamist.
It's just the first one I saw.
To let me know that there is documentation of people cooking shrimps on the sidewalk.
Yeah. It was also, when we was there, it was also a situation going on,
there was,
man.
And we didn't get any insight into it because there was police in the parking lot, and what do I look like going and getting in the middle
of
what they're doing?
Was Adam playing there?
He was not. Okay. No, he was not. I think they had him on the phone like we did. But no, someone, I don't know if someone got carjacked or robbed something, but it was police trying to get the video from the store, like the surveillance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We didn't know what was
so we
going
got
on.
Dinner and a show.
It was serious.
It was dinner and a show. Yeah. But ultimately, somebody said sidewalk or sidewalk.
Sidewalk.
But you're not
WOK or WALK.
Exactly. All right. So ultimately, I will end it here. The Timmy Chan's discussion, at least. Out of five stars, how many stars are we giving it?
Out of five, I would say I would give it a 3.
I think also a 3.
That sounds
I think
about
a 3,
right.
Yeah.
It's a solid 3. And it hit for what it needed to hit for.
Yeah.
It hit for what it needed to hit for. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, when are y'all going to Frenchies? Is this going to be a thing? Are we going to have to do?
Yeah, I was talking to Reggie about this. I think we're going to make this a thing.
I go to Gus's all the time. Let me know when you go to
Gus's. We could take a car ride after the show.
I'd probably
to Gus's.
Go there.
Somebody said, let's not forget y'all was on MLK. I understand.
Yeah. That is fair. I get it. I had no issue with anything that was going on around there.
I wasn't uncomfortable at any point. I was just like, okay, what's happening over here?
I actually felt comfortable. I kind of feel more comfortable around situations like that because that's how I grew up.
Speaking of being comfortable, the NBA has gotten very comfortable. And you want to know how I know that? Speaking of the Figgy's mixtape follow-up, right? Yesterday Figgy was talking about a particular song that is going around.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't get it out of my head, and I heard it like five times.
Shout out to Jello.
LiAngelo Ball. The artist name that he uses, G3 Jello, right?
I know on the Rolling Loud cover they just put G-E-L-O.
Okay, all right. Okay. So LiAngelo Ball, who is the middle child of the Ball family, Lonzo being his older brother, LaMelo being
By
his
the way, people
brother.
Trying to hop on that song, man. Lil Bootsy tweeted them and said, hey, send me an open verse.
I bet.
Moneybag, yo.
For sure.
Send me an open verse.
Yeah, man, people because it is the hotness. You played the song yesterday, but I don't even need to play the song because if you were watching the Rockets game, you probably heard it, and maybe even a couple of times, depending on the broadcast that you are watching. I take you to Craig Ackerman, who is the TV voice of Houston Rockets on Space City Home Network. This happened on a Jeff Green dunk, which, first of all, yes, Jeff Green, still dunking. Uncle Jeff, still throwing it down. This is what that sounded like.
Rockets can get the lead back with a 3 on this trip. Here comes Jeff Green! Oh, baby, bend that corner, Jeff Green! Whoa! Oh, the little Jello ball, man.
appreciate Ryan Hollins making sure that people know exactly what that meant, or at least as close to exactly as you could in that moment. All right, so now we're going to have to rank that. And I understand that there might be some bias here. However, I take you to Monument Sports Network, the home broadcast, TV broadcast of the Washington Wizards.
Right.
In this same game, there's a point where Amen Thompson dunks, which is a little bit more, a little bit more understandable, a little bit more common than Jeff Green. No offense to Uncle Jeff. But Amen Thompson dunked a little bit, like a few plays earlier, a few possessions earlier. This is Drew Gooden, who was the color commentator on that broadcast.
Salute to Drew Gooden, man. Drew Gooden was doing that.
I didn't either. I had to look it up. But here's Drew Gooden responding to an Amen Thompson dunk. Remember, Amen Thompson of the Rockets, the team on the opposite side.
Yeah. Brian Keith to call time as Houston is on a 10-0 run.
Right here. I might swerve and bend that corner. Whoa.
All right, we know who won that.
Who won?
Shout out to Drew Gooden.
I thought you would give Craig Ackerman some love for like bringing the energy at least with
it. I mean, you heard what I heard, right?
What, he was on key?
Yeah, he was better.
Okay.
Oh, baby, bend that corner, Jeff Green! Whoa!
We're not going to be able to get away from this.
Are you getting kind of fatigued of this now?
No, not yet. It will happen. It will happen.
It might happen really quick, man, because this ain't like everybody is jumping on board with
this. There was one more place where this happened. Oh, I did, because I sent this to you in the group chat.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it happened on one of those broadcasts. I think it was like the Bulls broadcast as well. Like, they're all doing this.
Yeah.
They're all doing this.
He might say the NBA. LaGelo Ball might say the NBA.
LaGelo. I like that.
I can't imagine. So, that was all of these things following up from, I was going to say from the mixtape, but one of those from Confessions yesterday. We went out and we made sure we were in the streets. And then LiAngelo Ball just kept. Yeah. Somebody said, I've never heard it and I'm sick of it already. Well, we just keep getting sick. Because one of the things also that's probably going to happen, you're going to hear it in this football as well.
Yep.
Like, it's going to be all.
You're
going to
hear the music. I wonder if they're going to play that NRG at some point.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Without doubt. I mean, at practice yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if they opened up practice, but literally the first tweet I saw from practice was, I think it was Jonathan Alexander talking about them playing Tweakers by LiAngelo Ball out of practice. You will hear this song. I'm not saying this as a threat. I'm saying this as a reminder to go ahead and get yourself prepared.
I can't wait for the remix. I want to see Bootsy on it. Lil Bootsy.
All right, you're right. Wait,
Bootsy
would remix
be good
already.
On this. Huh? I hate to say Bootsy would be good on there.
Yeah, nah, he would.
Somebody said You Buy We Fry. I love You Buy We Fry, if we're going to be completely honest. Frenchies. Now people are just throwing out local Houston establishments.
Yeah, we're going to take some field trips to these chicken spots.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then also, Lopez, you're in deep trouble because from the 832, I'm Vietnamese and for 52 years old, never cooked shrimp on a sidewalk. None of my relatives either.
Well, I just responded to him. Noted.
All right.
I mean, I've seen it. I personally have seen it.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports
Google
Radio 610.
Google it, man.
Coming up next, myself and Figgy, we'll see about Lopez.
We see Parker coming around the corner.
Well, it's been nice. It's been good. Let's get back to this wild card game. Texans, Chargers. What are some new wrinkles that you wouldn't mind seeing from the Texans in this game? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. We will discuss that next.